Welcome to the Oral History Review at the Oxford University Press blog. Occasionally, we like to break up the monotony of text posts with a podcast, celebrate the oral and oral history, so to speak. With these podcasts, we hope to give the Oral History Review's authors and editors a place to elaborate on or build upon their scholarship. Furthermore, as with all of our social media efforts, we aim to build awareness of the art and craft of oral history. The following podcast is hosted by Troy Reeves, the Oral History Review's managing editor and head of the Oral History Program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Enjoy.
Thanks, Caitlin. I'm here with Abby Reese. Abby is an independent scholar. She received an MFA in visual arts from the University of Chicago and was a fellow at the Columbia University Oral History Research Office's Summer Institute.
And her book is called Dedicated to God, An Oral History of Cloistered Nuns.
Abby, as you know, we have a few questions for you today. The first is if you could talk to your interest or knowledge in oral history before starting the oral history project that became your book.
Sure. So I came upon Doug Turkle in popular culture, and his work impressed me. I have always been interested in telling true stories, and when I heard him speak, I was really impressed that his mission was very simple. It was just to let people tell their stories. That was one of the first times I was exposed to oral history. So after that, I came across the work of Walter J. Ong, who wrote Orality and Literacy. And that, for me, started fleshing out the field and helping me understand that it is much more complicated and nuanced. And then after that, reading the work and meeting Alessandro Botticelli just contributed to that more multidimensional understanding of oral history as a field.
So the next question is short. Why cloistered nuns?
Looking back, I can understand things much more clearly than at the time. So looking back, I remember very vividly these images of nuns that I saw in the media. So my family didn't really watch television when I was little, and one of the few times I was exposed to television as a child, it was getting a glimpse of The Flying Nun. And then in high school, I think it was, my sister and I watched A Nun's Story with Audrey Hepburn. And these were the only times that I was exposed to nuns in popular culture. I never had met one personally before that time. Like, it kind of gripped my imagination to know that these women change their names, change their clothes, become new people, basically take on new identities in this role. So then after college, as I was working at a newspaper, I read an article in a magazine about young women in Italy who were, quote, unquote, going back to the habit. And as I remember it, some of them were daughters of fashion designers. And I became really gripped with the notion that these women were not only leaving parts of our contemporary culture, but also leaving part of their family history behind. So I moved to different communities and took jobs in different communities. And during that time, I reached out to a couple different religious orders, only to find out that the Corpus Christi Monastery was in Rockford, which is an hour from where I grew up, and didn't even know that cloistered communities exist today. And I was really wanting to understand in such an extreme way of embodying their faith why women are doing this today, why they would enter a cloister and only leave 25,000 square foot building in the 14-acre gated premises, basically really only if they need to go to the hospital because they vote by absentee ballot and the doctors and dentists make house calls there at the monastery.
With a background in journalism, how do you see the difference between the journalistic interview and an oral history?
I see oral history as a process, and it's a process that, and a methodology that acknowledges its own limitations, that memory can come in pieces and can be fragmentary and it can be incomplete, imprecise, and that it's a representation. It's one person sharing their remembrances of what happened. By contrast, I think that journalism, and my experience with journalism, having worked as a cop and court reporter and an investigative journalist, is that journalism strives be authoritative and definitive. But I think that there are also some kind of fundamental philosophical differences. Journalism, there's the public's right to know. And over time, for me, being fairly private, felt somewhat disingenuous for me to be undertaking journalism. Whereas with oral history, that fed my desire to contribute to the historical record with stories that would otherwise not reflected there.
The other aspect of your pre-oral history career, if you will, was your interest in photography.
To kind of back up just a little bit, I've always been very interested in storytelling, and I think that because I'm so visually oriented, that helped me see the stories that were told to me and try to really get the details when people would tell stories, because I wanted to see it. So for me, I think that photography has contributed to my oral history methodology, and that I want to see the story unfold as people tell it. I want the details, and in tandem with wanting the person sharing their story to try to describe the ineffable and all of those markers of complex narratives, like their motivations and their thought process and the turning points. As far as the connection between photography and oral history, I see both as undertaking some form of performance, and both rely on collaboration. So when I am photographing anybody who sees that I've got a camera there, they're performing a role. It doesn't make it inauthentic, but they're aware of the camera and the camera animates action. And when I undertake oral history interviews, the person I'm interviewing shares what they're willing to share. They tell what it is that they're willing to convey. And in both instances, people are still vulnerable and authentic, and it seems very organic to me, but I think that that would be a parallel between both the performativity and the collaboration.
I think we should give you space to talk about the exhibit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just brought the exhibit up to National Catholic Sisters Week in Minnesota. And these were sisters who are all active, and I think there was just one religious sister that I saw there out of like 150 who was still wearing a habit. So it was really interesting to see this kind of engagement between two very different kind of circles of religious sisters. But yeah, in the exhibit, I have a soundtrack as well that it's 2 hours and 17 minutes, and it's one track from the oral history interviews that goes with one photograph, and the goal being that people would slow down and kind of enter the monastic pace to take in the exhibit.
Abby, do you have current or future projects that are incorporating oral history?
You mentioned, you know, my background in journalism, which has transitioned into oral history, which is now kind of transitioning into collaborative ethnographic film project with these same cloistered contemplative nuns. A couple years ago, I started lending them video cameras and giving them some assignments of sorts, specific assignments that left room for them to explore with the video camera their own world. And so the film will use both oral history and ethnographic methodology.
Where is it in the process? Just when do you anticipate it, you know, being able to be viewed?
So actually, at this point, all of the footage is collected, and I'm about to enter post-production, so I'm hoping that in the next year and a half, it'll be all edited and available for viewing. And with oral history and with the still photography, going back to your question on that, I am the mediator. I'm holding the camera, or I'm there with the person as they're sharing their story in the oral history interview. What motivated this project was a question of what would happen if I was not mediating somebody's experiences? What if a video camera was? So since 2005, since I started working on the oral history and photography project with the nuns, I also started working at that same time with a young woman who was considering entering cloistered contemplative life. And for the next 6 years, until she made a decision in 2011 to actually enter that same monastery, the Corpus Christi Monastery in Rockford, Illinois, I've been working with her. And so in my oral history interviews with her, it seemed to me that there was always some sort of hesitation. And this was prior to her entering the order. So I didn't know if that hesitation was because she had such resistance from her family and loved ones to her even considering cloistered religious life, or if because she's so interior, if that was influencing the hesitations that I felt as part of the oral history interviews. But once she was settled in the monastery, I decided to give her a video camera, going through the hierarchy of the monastery and obtaining permission, because I know her to be very visually oriented. She was a painter and a blogger before she entered. So to play to her strengths, giving her the video camera to document her world, I also asked her to make diaristic footage, like video diaries. And me not being present and her finding these spaces within the monastery where nobody else would be, like woodshop late at night, something unhinged. And her talking into the video camera, with the video camera as the mediator, is so incredibly vulnerable, and it's remarkable her sharing her own thoughts of assimilating into this order in the midst of this rite of passage.
My follow-up then, they'll never be able to see the exhibit or the film, right?
Well, that's not exactly true. So I brought my camera as I started making. I waited until the nuns invited me into the enclosure before I started making photographs. And the dynamics changed over time to the extent that the mother abbess called me when a nun who had served in World War II as a WAC died. The mother abbess called and asked if I would like to come and make photographs from the roof of the monastery of the funeral procession with military honors. I think that part of the reason why she did that is because over time I kept bringing my laptop to the monastery and showing them the photographs that I was making in the enclosure. So they were aware of what it was that I was doing, and they were part of the process. With oral history being, in my mind, co-authorship and shared authority, that was important for me, and that helped build trust, I believe. The film can be mostly the nun's footage. I made a 10-minute demo, and I've already shown that to the nun. I showed it to two or three of the nuns in one sitting, and then gave them a copy so that they could show it to the entire community. They took the video camera again after that to make more footage. So it's pretty exciting to me.
Abby, in the limited time we have left, I still want to give you space if there's anything on your mind that you want to talk about.
I would just say that I'm so appreciative to the cloistered contemplative nuns for letting me into their world. I didn't do the project perfectly. In one of my first meetings with the Mother Abbess and the main subject of this film back in 2005 when she was visiting, I had told the Mother Abbess that I would just be a fly on the wall during that meeting. And a half an hour into the meeting, I said something. I asked a question or made a comment. And the Mother Abbess looked over at me and she said, "A fly on the wall, eh? I wish I had a sweater." And it kind of stunned me into silence, and then I started laughing. And then she cracked a smile. I think that was an early lesson in receding into the background, in a sense, or just not making myself so at the forefront of this project. But I've been just incredibly amazed by the nuns' openness and graciousness, and never once trying to convert me to Catholicism, never once thinking that I was doing this project because I wanted to become a nun. And that's not what I've encountered out here in the world. People ask me if I'm doing this because I want to become a nun.
Abby Rees is an independent scholar and an interdisciplinary artist, utilizing oral history and ethnographic methodology to explore individual and cultural identity. Abby, thank you very much for agreeing to talk with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Troy. Thank you.